Acts chapter 2. This is the third sermon in our series on show and tell, and we talked first of all about show and tell in your faith and how we should have a faith that saves, a faith that serves, and a faith that shows. The bottom line for us as Christians is that if God has changed our heart, our faith is going to show. It is going to be evident. It is not going to be something that is hidden. It's going to be obvious. Last week we talked about show and tell in your family and how we have to be careful not to listen to our family over God or to lead our family to doubt God, but instead to lead our family to trust God. And we talked about Abraham and the reality that he had that battle to begin with in his life, but ultimately he put God first and he was willing to lay Isaac on the altar and literally get to the point of being ready to sacrifice Isaac there. But today I want to talk about everybody's favorite subject. I know you're excited about the idea of show and tell in your finances. I will readily admit I am not a financial genius. There are some decisions I've made in the past that is the one area of my life that I wish I could go back and change a couple of decisions. If I look at anything else, you know, I don't live that way. I'm not one who dwells in the past, but there are a couple of decisions along the way financially that if given the opportunity, knowing what I know now, I probably would do differently. But I hopefully am at least aware enough that if I don't know something, I'll call people who do know. I'm not afraid to pick up the phone and call somebody like Kent, who knows more about finances than I do, to ask questions if I don't have the answers. However, I do know the Word of God does speak to the issue of finances in several passages, and in this morning, I want to look at a passage in Acts that gives us some insight into finances. Finances can be a real indicator of where your heart is, and God wants us to honor Him in this area. So let's take a look at what Luke has to say in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 32, and I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 32. Now the large group of those who believed were of one heart and mind, and no one said that any of his possessions was his own, but instead they held everything in common. And the apostles were giving testimony with great power to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was on all of them. For there was not a needy person among them, because all those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. This was then distributed for each person's basic needs. Joseph, a Levite and a Cypriot by birth, the one the apostles called Barnabas, which is translated son of encouragement, sold a field he owned, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you that your word is absolute truth. God, open our hearts and minds today. Help us to hear from you. And God, I pray right now that I might decrease, that you might increase, that your truth would be spoken here. It's in your precious and holy name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. And I do say up front, go ahead and look at your watch. You are not going to make it out at 12. I love you. We had a few extra things in the beginning. You will get to lunch today, I promise you that. There are at least three things that we need to know in regard to your money. First of all, you should know where it came from. Know where it came from. We live in a culture that often preaches the American dream, and I'm one of those who believes in the American dream. I believe if you're willing to work, if you're willing to work hard in this country, if you're willing to do things, that you can earn a living in this country. I'm not telling you that I believe it's possible for everybody to become wealthy, because I don't think, first of all, that every profession will make you wealthy. But I believe if you do something that you're passionate about, something that you enjoy doing, that you can be successful in this country, that you can make a living in spite of whether or not that translates into having a lot of money. But one of the problems that I have with the American dream is that we tend to think that we can do it on our own. And I want to say to you, not based on my opinion, I want to say to you all on the authority of the Word of God, that that is absolutely incorrect. The Word of God makes it very clear we don't have a breath in our body unless God gives it to us in the first place. I don't have a talent that God did not give me in the first place. I don't have a thought that God did not enable me to think. Now, I may corrupt it, I may misuse it, but ultimately, God has given me the ability to think. We're all created in the image of God, and we're created by God. I didn't get to choose who I am. I didn't get to choose where I was born. I didn't get to choose what family I was born into. I didn't get to choose what color my hair would be, and I didn't get to choose how much of it I would have at this time. I'd choose a little more on top and a little less in my ears, but I'm just saying. Sorry, but it's true. I didn't get to choose my brain. I didn't get to choose what I'd be good at and what I wouldn't be good at. We come pre-wired to some degree. Math came easier to me than English did. Marcia, I don't get it. English, you know, at parts of speech was like absolute sheer torture to me. If you wanted to torture me, put me in a room and make me do parts of speech. Don't like it. I hate the smell of a biology lab. The formaldehyde, awful. I literally made it through high, and I don't know how this happened. Probably as a reflection on a poor experience in biology. I made it through biology in high school without dissecting anything. I don't know how that happened, but I did. I don't like liver, and I don't like sauerkraut. I didn't choose that. I like turnip greens and I like collard greens. And you got to have cornbread if you have those. I didn't choose that. God wired me that way. I say all of this to say I don't have any ability that God didn't give me. It's true that I can improve on the things that God has given me the ability to do. I can hone those skills. I can work on those skills. I can improve those skills. God did not give me, if I could have chosen, I would have chosen to throw left-handed. And I would have chosen to be able to throw a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. God did not give me either one of those. I throw right-handed, and I didn't come anywhere near 100 miles an hour. He called me to preach, and I'm grateful for the fact that he has chosen to place me here to serve alongside you. And I'm grateful for the salary that he provides for me through this church and through you. Now, I want you to notice God provides the salary, and you need to realize he provides yours too. You may answer to a boss at work. You may answer to someone else at work. But ultimately, God is the one that you're working for, or at least he should be. And the salary that you have is provided by him, even though it may have somebody else's name on who that check is from. It is still from God. The first century church here in Acts had a great view of their stuff. They realized that none of it belonged to them, that it belonged to God. And they were willing to take what they had and to share that with others when they had need. And here was a critical moment, a critical time in the life of the church. They had to share with one another. They had to give up what God had entrusted to them. And we need to do the best that we can to take care of what God has entrusted to us and not hoard it for ourselves. Every now and again, I'll watch a show on the History Channel called Pawn Stars. Anybody in here seen Pawn Stars? Okay, I see a few hands, a few others not willing to admit it. I can't recommend the show to you, honestly, as a pastor, that sometimes there's language that I'd rather not hear. But the premise of the show is interesting. Granddad, son, and grandson have this pawn shop in Las Vegas, or as some people like to say, Lost Wages. People come into their shop and they bring them all sorts of stuff, and sometimes it's really just way out goofy, sometimes it's really neat, but it could be old toys, it could be stuff that's connected to celebrities, it can be all sorts of things. But I remember one particular episode that I was watching, a gentleman brought in some documents that were related to the D-Day invasion. Now, some of those documents were post-D-Day, in other words, they were describing what had taken place at D-Day, but some of the documents that he had were actually pre-invasion. They were documents that were once classified top secret documents that described what was going to take place, that laid out what the plan was. Well, one of the things that happens with the guys in the store, they don't know, they're not experts in everything. They know a lot of things. It's pretty interesting, some of the things that they know. I'm sure none of that's ever staged, by the way, but anyway, sometimes they'll call in experts. And in this particular case, they called in a local museum curator, and he came in and he was fascinated with the documents. And they didn't have any idea how to price them, but after he looked at them, he saw, based on the paper, based on the ink, he said, these are not documents that are going to be collectible because they will need to be stored in a dark place. They'll need to be protected. Otherwise, they're just going to disintegrate and fade away. Well, of course, that's not what the guy who had them wanted to hear. He wanted to know, you know, if they were worth a lot of money. But his suggestion to him was to donate them to somebody who could take care of them and preserve those and maybe observe them under the right circumstances. If we're going to honor God with our finances, we need to realize they don't belong to us. There's a greater good for them. That we can use what God has given us for our needs, but we should also be willing to let God use those, what he's entrusted to us, for others. We should treat it as though they belong to God and do everything we can to be a good steward, a good caretaker of it. We should use it in a manner that honors him because he's provided it for us. The problem is we have to acknowledge that God did indeed give it to us in the first place. You may have started from nothing, but God gave you the ability to do what you did to get what you have. You may have inherited what you had, but God allowed you to be born in that family. So no matter the circumstances of how you got what you have, it still came from God. As a Christian, we need to realize we are truly not our own. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?" Folks, we need to realize that God has given us our bodies. He's given us what we are. He bought us with a price. Verse 20 goes on to say, "For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body." And when God tells us to glorify him in our body, although I know the context of 1 Corinthians 6 is dealing specifically with sexual immorality, God also expects us to honor him in our body in anything that we do. Whatever we do, we ought to do for his glory, and how we handle our money should be one of those things that we honor him in. Remember where it all comes from. That's the first step to living a godly life in your finances. I don't pretend to be perfect in this area, but I work hard at making sure that I never shortchange God. I want to make sure that I give to him and that I give to him first. You've heard me say before that I do keep a budget. Well, the first line item in my budget, if you go and look at my budget right now, says tithe. When I get a check, when I deposit money into my budget, that's the first line item that gets money. And, you know, people will ask, "Well, do you tithe on the gross or the net?" Well, which part do you want to be blessed on? And is the government more important than God? I believe we ought to tithe on the gross, because I want God to bless me based on the gross. I think he deserves it, and I think he's more important than the government and the taxes that they get. Remember that it comes from God. And honestly, if we stop and think about what Christ did on the cross, a tenth of our income giving back to him is a very small thing compared to what he did for us. So remember where it comes from. Remember where your money came from. Secondly, you need to know where the needs are. Christians that have turned their finances over to God don't close their eyes to the needs of those around them. When we realize that people are in need around us, we ought to be moved with compassion because of God the Holy Spirit living in us. Here in verse 34, we see the people didn't hold tightly to what they have. Instead, they surrendered what they had to God. They were willing to go without so that others wouldn't have it worse. This was especially important if we consider the fact that in this time, when many of them were coming to know Christ, they were being disowned from their families. So those who had sold what they had so that those who didn't have could share in that. It'd be easy for us to look at this text and say, "Well, you know, that was a different time. That was a different place. You know, that's not realistic for us today." But I would say to you, there's principle here that we should definitely not overlook. While I'm not suggesting that we have to sell all that we have and distribute to the poor, I'm suggesting that we should be willing to sacrifice to take care of the needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ and those that God places in our path. It would be wrong of me to go out and buy a new flat screen TV and then when God puts someone in my path that has a need to say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I've got to make my TV payment." God expects us to care for the needs of those that he places in our path. He expects us to care for our brothers and sisters in Christ. There's nothing wrong with having things, but when our things consume us to the point that we become so self-absorbed that we're not willing to give to others, then those things possess us rather than us possessing them. I pray that if the Lord ever puts me in a place where I have a great deal of financial resources that I won't spend to the level of those resources, but instead will use what he's entrusted to me to be a blessing to others. These first century Christians seem like fanatics to us in some ways, but the truth is they had a better grasp of reality about their stuff than many of us do, and God chose to minister through them. Christian musician and speaker Mike Adkins tells the story of a time in his life where God was really working in his heart about the stuff that he had. And he had an old pickup truck. It wasn't anything fancy, but it was a truck he liked, you know, and men like their trucks. And he, one day, God put it on his heart. Somebody that he'd been working with, somebody that he'd been talking to, needed transportation, and they needed a truck. And he knew that God had put it on his heart that he needed to give this gentleman this truck. And he's thinking, oh, I've got to give him a truck away. So he finally gave in. He gave the truck to him. And then God provided him the resources to get a brand new minivan. So he got this minivan and he'd driven the minivan for a while. And then he tells the story of how this local singing group had come to him and asked him about his minivan. They'd seen his minivan and it was a perfect size for what they needed for their ministry. And Mike didn't want to sell his minivan. But as he prayed about it, God put it on his heart to give them the minivan. Now, I got to be honest with you. I'm not there yet. I would have to know that I know that I know that God had made it clear to me. But God made it clear to him, and he gave them that minivan for their ministry. Well, as Mike goes on and God provides, God put it on Mike's heart that he needed to buy a bus. Mike didn't have any purpose for a bus. But he knew God had spoken to his heart, and he put it on his heart to buy a bus. And I'm not talking about a 15-passenger bus. I'm talking about Trailways, Greyhound, big bus. So God starts blessing Mike with the financial resources and preparing him for this. And then, as Mike gets to the point where God is going to provide the bus, God literally puts the bus in front of him for the money that God has brought into his life to be able to buy this. So Mike was obedient and bought that bus. And you know what God did? God said, now I want you to give it away. God led him to a ministry that needed that bus. And Mike tells how God continued to provide in that. Folks, I get it. I know where you are right now because I'm like, wow, I want to be able to do that, but I'm not there. God wants us to trust him with what he's entrusted to us. It's a gift from him in the first place, and we can be a blessing to others if we will let God work through us. God has done so much for us. The least we can do is give what we have to him. The truth is, I believe we're blessed most when it hurts the most to give. Sometimes when it's the hardest to give is when God pours out the blessings the most. We shouldn't, however, give to get in return. We should simply give to honor God because we love him. We need to realize that in forgiveness and eternal life, we've already been given far more than we deserve, far more than we could ever ask for, and yet God has given that to us freely. Being willing to help those around us who are in need is just an outward expression of the gratitude that we have for what God has done for us. And I hope that there's not anything that I would withhold from God if God led me to give it away to his causes. Ask God to open your eyes to the needs of those around you. Ask him to help you see those around you as he sees them and the needs that they have. I understand that's a scary proposition about what God may do, but if God leads you to give, trust him to take care of providing for you. He will provide. He is faithful. So in regard to your money, you should know where it came from and know where the needs are. But finally, you need to know where to give. In verses 35 and 37, we gain insight into where our giving should begin as a Christian. Our giving should begin at church. The apostles were the leaders of the church, and God led those first century Christians to give their gifts to the church. Back in Malachi, God instructs us to give our tithes at his storehouse or his church. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. God instructed us in the Old Testament, bring our tithe to his house so that the ministry of his church might continue. You may recall that the priest in the Old Testament did not have a share in the inheritance of the people of Israel. God had provided for them through the tribes. They were to give a portion. They didn't inherit a land. The Levites didn't inherit a land. He had provided a portion of land from the tribes so that they would take care of them, so that they would minister to him. God made a provision. Some people argue that Jesus didn't instruct us to tithe. Well, Jesus doesn't preach on tithing anywhere. Well, he was dealing with the Jewish people, and he knew the needs. He knew that they already understood the principle of tithing. So in Matthew 23, when he's speaking to the religious Jews of the day, this is what he says to them. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others." You see, what Jesus says to them is, y'all aren't honoring me in justice, in mercy, in faithfulness. You should be honoring me in being just. You should be honoring me in being merciful. You should be honoring me in being righteous without neglecting the other things. They already understood. They gave. They knew what it meant to tithe. As a matter of fact, if you go back and look at the Old Testament, the tithe was a little bigger than a tenth. If you go back and look at all the things that they were required to give, it was actually more. But Jesus said, you know, you've been tithing of these things, you understand this, but you also, in addition to tithing, you should be merciful and just and faithful. I have to tell you that if we're going to honor God in our lives, we have to be willing to surrender our wallets. It is a struggle, and I know it's a difficult thing to do, but God has given us everything we have. You don't have any ability unless he gave it to you in the first place. That means that anything that we have, whatever that resource is a gift from him, something that he has blessed us with, and we should be willing to use it for his honor and his glory. And if we can't trust our church to take care of the money that we give to the church, then we may be in the wrong church. I'm grateful for the fact that so many of you faithfully give and you trust God to be honored in the way that things are handled. We have checks and balances. We have people who pay attention to the finances, and I'm grateful for the meticulous nature of those who handle our finances to seek to be good stewards. But maybe you don't belong to this church. Maybe you go somewhere else, and maybe you don't feel like you can give to your church. Let me encourage you to find a place you can give and give to honor God. I get calls and letters a lot from all sorts of places wanting money. I know you do too. I think my alma mater, I graduated from what was then Augusta College. It's now Georgia Regents University. Apparently they have private investigators who can find you wherever you move. Has anybody else experienced that with your alma maters? It's like, I don't leave change of addresses for them. I don't leave change of phone numbers for them, and they still find me everywhere I have moved. And they're constantly asking me for money. I'm grateful for the education that I have, but I have to be honest. When I paid for my last quarter of college, that was the last time I was paying anything to my college. My seminary constantly sends me stuff, and I'm grateful for the ministry of my seminary. But I don't feel led of the Lord to give to support my seminary other than what I do through the cooperative program and my giving there. There are some times when God leads me to give to various ministries, whether it's been to things like World Vision or Samaritan's Purse through the years. God has led me to give to certain things at times. But let me say this. I have never once had to pray about whether or not to give to the church, because I know it's commanded in God's word. People want to bend what God says in this text. We want to say, well, if you give to God, he'll make you rich. That's not biblically, not even remotely biblically accurate. What God does say is that he'll take care of us, that he will provide for us. And I have seen time and time again throughout my life where God has been faithful. When God leads you to give, be willing to give. It's a blessing. It's a blessing just to be obedient. We don't have to see the response of someone else in our giving. Just in being obedient, God blesses when we are obedient to honor him. God wants you to know joy in your finances. He wants you to know what it's like to be able to trust it to Him. We should show and tell others that we have faith in our God by the way that we handle our finances. So in regard to our money, we should know where it came from. We should know where the needs are, and we should know where to give. God wants us to give to honor Him. And when we do, I believe He will pour out His blessings upon us if we'll give our finances completely to Him. Christian, ask God to help you take a real honest look at your finances. Are you tithing obediently? Are you giving obediently? But more than that, let me ask you to look at it this way. Are you being a good steward in every area of your finances? I can promise you, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to myself too. I got to be a better steward. And if you realize there are areas in your life where you need to be a better steward, ask God to help you with those things so that you can honor Him in your finances. But I want to say to you more than that, more than any of this today, if you have not trusted your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to be a better steward of your life right now today. And the way to do that is admit that you're a sinner. Ask God to forgive your sin and place your trust in Him. He will forgive you and give you eternal life. You don't have to spend your eternity separated from Him, but if you don't repent of that sin, if you don't place your faith in Him, you will spend your eternity separated from Him. The Word of God says ultimately cast into a lake of fire, but He doesn't want that for you, and I don't either. And I don't believe you want that for yourself. Just today, ask His forgiveness. Place your faith in Him. He will forgive you. Maybe you're here today and you have some burden or hurt, some concern that you just need to lay at God's feet. Perhaps the step that you need to take today is to say, God, I can't do it anymore. Maybe you need to even step out of that pew and come and kneel at this altar and say, God, as I step out and kneel at this altar, I'm laying this at your feet. Please take control of this. But whatever your need is, whatever your burden is today, let God have His way right now. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your amazing love, Lord. We thank You for the fact that You have made so many provisions for us. God, I just right now ask Your forgiveness for those times when I've been unfaithful in what You've entrusted to me. God, when I've not been the steward that I should be. Lord, help me to be a better steward. Help me to manage what You've given to me in a way that honors You. Lord, for those who are here today who have been mismanaging their lives by seeking to live for themselves, Lord, I pray You'd give them the courage right now to ask Your forgiveness. Right now, Lord, that they'd trust in You as the only way to be forgiven, as the only way to know eternal life. And God, I thank You that Your word tells us that if we ask, You will forgive. Lord, for others here who have burdens and hurts, they just need to know You're still there. God, I pray right now in this moment Your Holy Spirit would speak to their heart, warm them and remind them of Your presence, that You will see them through. God, whatever the needs are here today, whatever the concerns, I pray we'd lay those at Your feet right now. You do what You need to do in this invitation. Lord, help us to respond obediently to You. It's in Your precious and holy name we pray these things. Amen.